beautiful and then not so beautiful, but spring's coming, right? All right, let's say our theme verse together. Deuteronomy 7:6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Turn over to page 112 in your hymn books. 112, God leads us along. That's our theme verse. And praise the Lord that God is leading us, because otherwise we'd be a people wandering in the wilderness. So 112, God leads us along. In shady green.
Sometimes through the valley, and he does lead us, even sometimes when we're in the wilderness. It's the Lord who's leading us. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, and he does that for a special purpose, and we've been looking at that, to humble us, to test us, to feed us, and to teach us that his word is sufficient for our lives. So we come to him today to worship our God. We've come for no other reason. We have many other things that are a part of it. We enjoy being together. We enjoy the fellowship. But our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And that's what really ties our hearts together. So let's go to him in prayer and worship him. Dear Father, Lord, we bow down before you and acknowledge you as the great King, the Creator God who rules over all things. We are so thankful, Lord, that you are almighty power is used for your most gracious and good purposes, that you are a God of all goodness and kindness and love, and that you have communicated to us, you revealed yourself to us so that you might be our friend, and that we might know you, and we might walk with you. Thank you for giving us grace in Jesus Christ so that we might be accepted in the Beloved One and stand before you redeemed and justified and sanctified in all wisdom and prudence that you have dealt toward us in the grace of Jesus Christ. Father, we are not worthy to be here, but in Christ we stand worthy and complete in Him. And so, Lord, we praise You for this wonderful work. And Lord, we do not stand just simply as those who have received, but we stand as those that are ministers before Your throne. Call us, Lord. May we hear Your voice today so that we might be obedient to You. What does the great High King want us to do in our lives? Father, may we receive from You, and may we respond by the power of Your Holy Spirit in complete submission to Your authority. We praise You in Jesus' name today. Amen. You may be seated. We have quite a few announcements to give here this morning, so we're going to get on top of it right off the bat here. The Easter Cantata Choir Practice, we're going to practice at 5 o'clock. We'll start at 5, but we'll have an abbreviated time because tonight is the first Sunday of the month, and so we're going to have our church-wide prayer meeting here at 5:30. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for us to unite in prayer, and the Lord loves to respond and answer prayer, but especially united prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to do that at 5:30. I encourage you to just come a little bit early and enjoy what God does and contribute and pray with us. We're looking forward to next Sunday. We do this every quarter, have some sort of snack, which is a Sunday night after church fellowship, and try to enjoy the facility here that God's given to us. And this next week is our basketball tournament. And so we're going to, so it's time to get working on some teams and putting that together. It'll be a 3-on-3 event, and we'll have some other things for kids and just have some fun time. So bring your favorite snack, and that'll be enjoyable. Just looking ahead down the month, the ladies, you have a ladies' brunch that's on March the 15th at 10 a.m. right here. There's a sign-up sheet in the lobby, and Patience O'Rourke from up in Ottawa is coming down to be a special speaker. The Lord's really blessed in that, and it's been an encouragement to you ladies, so trust the Lord will allow you to be able to be there on that day. And then just want to make a note here. This is a change from what I had said last week because I didn't, you know, sometimes I don't get everything just right, you know. And 2 weeks from the time that we presented our building project would be on the very night of our basketball thing. And so we had to figure out which one we're going to move. No, no, it's all right. We can use another week or so to keep on working on the things. Good suggestions coming out of the meeting and the business meeting. And so if you weren't able to be a part of that, we are presented a plan for an addition to the church. And so it's really exciting to see what God's... I'm just excited that we need it. And I'm excited that we're at this stage to be able to present that. And it's a venture that we can take on by faith. So in 2 weeks, we'll have a special business meeting to actually vote on that. And so if you have any other thoughts or concerns, please continue to share that. Tonight, after the service... we'll try to have those that are part of the building committee, it will have a short meeting there to try to help coalesce some of these ideas and get on the same page and be prepared for that. So if you're part of the building committee, just to meet after the service on Sunday night. And then our Seeking the Summit Fellowship, it feels like we just had it, but we moved it back because of the snow. And so that'll be in March on Tuesday the 18th at noon, and we're going to meet at Lucci's Cafe in town. And so that'll be an enjoyable time together, so mark that on your calendar. And then even this month as well, we also have our men's prayer breakfast, so need to kind of get that on the calendar, March 22nd. We'll meet here at 7 a.m. to pray, and then if you can hang around with us, we're going to have probably about 9 to 1, 9 to 12, something like that. We're going to do a work day that we normally do in the spring to try to do some spring cleaning and to get some of the outside stuff in preparation for the beautiful weather. Hopefully we'll have some days like we've had this past week, and just makes me really want to get out there and see the property spruced up and ready for the spring and summer that's coming. Our missionary family of the week that we're going to be praying for is John and Nisha Harris, and they're missionaries in Peru. They're raising money to buy some land so that they can build a building with their third church plant that they're involved in up in the mountains. And so the Lord's really blessed them and given them a good ministry and many opportunities of outreach. And so continue to pray the Lord's blessing upon them and their children who are now in the States. And then our family of the week is Russell and Rose Moore. and their children. So, Brother Russell, if you're a part of the Moore family, if you'd like to stand, and Brother, is there anything we can pray for you guys through this week? Amen. Well, we'll look forward to praying for you guys throughout this week, and may the Lord's blessing be upon you. Well, you're singing out well. We've got some neat songs, to some good old songs that are familiar to us that just tell us, and this is one of my favorite, number 2, Brother Kenny's going to come and talk to us about, but I love it because it just tells us that God is gracious to receive our praise, and we'll sing out to His glory.
Yes, page 2. So let's all stand. The title of the song, Come Christians, Join to Sing. Let's just think about that. There's scripture after scripture in the Psalms that talk about singing unto the Lord. And of course, one of the main ones is make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So you can say, I can't sing. Well, God doesn't care. He wants you to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And we would love to hear that. I just wanted to focus on the third verse. I know we're going to be singing it, but it says, praise yet our Christ again. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness will adore, singing forevermore. So you may not be singing down here, but if you're going to heaven, if you've saved, you're going to be singing up there. So be a good time to start down here. Let's sing out on Come Christian, Join and Sing.
Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 14 for today's scripture reading. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to go to this good God in prayer.
is resonating with that cry. Praise Him, praise Him. Let us glorify our Lord today. We have an opportunity to glorify Him through our contributions. When we make a financial sacrifice for the Lord, even though our right hand doesn't know what our left hand is doing, the Lord does, and He rewards, and He is looking forward to that day when He can bring His rewards with us for the love and the sacrifice that we make for Him. So we're going to take up our offering at this time. I'd like to ask Brother Joe Smith, if Brother Joe, would you mind praying for us, Brother Joe Smith?
Pastor and Tirza, for that, and we'll crown him with the everlasting song. All right, page 36. Pastor's been challenging. He's been stretching us here the last couple weeks. He's stretching us again today. So page 36 is a song that we're not familiar with. It's not too difficult, though. It's mostly quarter notes and dotted half notes, so shouldn't be too bad. But I think it would be, I don't know if hypocritical be the right word, but definitely would be an oxymoron if we don't stand when we sing this song, because it's stand and bless the Lord. So you're going to be standing this morning. So we'll just be standing throughout the song service today. So page 36.
Thank you.
last song today is over a couple pages, and it is one you know really well, so, you know, he's kind of balancing it out. Sing How Great Thou Art, page
Thank you. All righty. the young people would like to come there for the special today. So all the part of the kids club can come. That is a blessing. What a good song that is. Just walking with the Lord, trusting in His Word every day. And my heart was echoing in that song because I do believe that we have a nugget in the Word of God, just a simple piece of direction and instruction. But I think there's a promise and an attachment to it that really is a key. And I feel like I've found the key for my own life and for my family's life, and not something that you've never heard of before. But I think we may not understand it to be how significant it truly is. And so my goal and my desire is to help highlight that for you so that we will come away realizing the significance of this wonderful truth. So we'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And as we do that, I'll invite the children to make their way back for children's church. And Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're talking about remembering the Lord thy God. So this is part two of our message from last week. And we looked at last time the aspect here of the first 10 verses are an instruction on remembering the Lord. And you can see that in verse 2 where the word itself is used. And then he turns around and gives a great warning about forgetting the Lord. And you can see that in verse 11. Beware that thou forget. And verse 14 says, when thine heart be lifted up, thou shalt forget the Lord thy God. And so the solution is found in verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. And that's where the text, the sermon title comes. Remember the Lord thy God here in this text. Here is the solution for what God wants to remember, that's He that giveth thee power and wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware to thy fathers, as it is this day. And then we saw that there was consequences for forgetting. And if that shall be that thou at all forget the Lord thy God. And he goes on and describes what's going to happen to them if they do. So this whole chapter very clearly is hinging on remembering and forgetting. And so we have to see how important it is to remember who the Lord is. And I feel like there's an aspect here that I start to cringe because I forget so much in my life. I forget my kids' names. I forget people's names. I hate that. And and there's so many of my responsibilities. Like, oh no, I forgot. Oh man, there's an element that says remembering, forgetting is a very important aspect for our lives. And it's the specific spot where I feel particularly weak at in regards to these things. But I want us to see something that I think helps us, and it really kind of jumped off the page when we see this passage, and that is in verses 10 and 12. He says, after all these wonderful blessings that you have in the land, the good land that the Lord brings you, he says, when thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And he goes on, that's kind of the culmination of the first section. Now the hinge, do not forget. And he says, lest, verse 12, when thou hast eaten and are full and built goodly houses, and he kind of describes these other elements that come, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. So because the structure is the same, when you have eaten and are full, then do this. And he says, when you have eaten and you're full, make sure you don't do this. And they're the opposites. Don't forget. And so over here, remember. But you know he doesn't use the word remember? In verse 10, he says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Blessing the Lord is equated in the context to remembering the Lord. Now, we have to understand what blessing the Lord means. God says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, Psalm 34 tells us. There's an element that blessing God is not giving him something he doesn't already have, but it's acknowledging him for who he truly is. And so it is this element of when you have eaten and you are full and you're pushing back from the table, what is your response in that moment? Do you remember to thank the Lord and to praise Him for what He has given to you? Everything that is our comfort, that is our good, ought to be the very things that are His praise and His glory. Because whatever touches us by God's grace should receive thanksgiving to Him. It's interesting that in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, He heals 10 lepers. And one of them has a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The others are not heard of. We don't know exactly what they've done. But it was the one who returned and came back to Jesus to thank Him. He's saying, your faith has made you whole. You have believed. And he says, where are the other nine? This is absolutely crucial and I think an important element for our lives. When I say, you know what? There's two paths. Deuteronomy sets forth, you're either going to follow the Lord and you're going to be blessed, or you're going to forsake the Lord and you're going to experience the curse of God. He's going to fight against you. He's going to resist you in terms of pride. I said, man, I want the blessing. I want my family to walk the path of blessing. You understand what I mean by that? I mean, there's an aspect I understand that there's a whole other path over here that someone could go down and it'd be just destructive for their lives. How can I help? What can I do for myself and for my family so that make sure that we don't, and now we've defined it here, we don't forget the Lord our God, but we remember the Lord our God. How do you do that? It's quite simply right here. It comes down to
You must bless God. You must praise Him. That right there is the key. If I will make it a permanent, repetitive part of my life to be praising my God, it will have such an impact upon my heart and upon the hearts of my children and this church here that we will not forget the Lord. But here in this simple aspect of omission, if I forget, if I simply do not praise Him, everything else becomes the sequence of that. And we talked about that in terms of, we went to Romans 1, saw how man's descent begins with not glorifying God, neither being thankful to Him. And so I want to encourage us to say, just to put forward the importance in our lives to see that I trust that you might believe that this element of thanksgiving and praise is just as important as the Bible says it is. So that when we realize, okay, this is not just, I think, from my perspective, if I were just to kind of open up my mind and say, okay, all the things that are important out there, they're important things, but I might categorize this to a particular holiday. Oh, we have Thanksgiving, and that's a really good time, and we always good to remember our blessings and that type of thing. Realize, you know what? This aspect of Thanksgiving is the key between two different paths. If I will bless the Lord, my entire life and my family's life will go one way. If I refuse to do that, and I forget even, I may have good intentions, but it will impact the rest of my life and my children's life in terms of this. So I want us, my desire here is for us as a church that every single home would purpose as we walk out of here to make or to strengthen a certain plan. And I don't know necessarily, I don't have a plan to develop it for you, but to say, okay, you find out what is the way that I can make sure that my family is praising God. You know what the Jewish people do in response to this command in Deuteronomy chapter 8? They pray after their meal. It's an interesting phenomenon. I did not necessarily know that. And obviously, we pray before our meals in response to what the Lord does. He blessed the bread, and the Apostle Paul did the same thing on his journey. So we see a biblical pattern there of multiple occurrences where there was prayer before eating, and so that's a good thing to follow. But there is an element that says, I'm not saying we have to adopt that particular practice and make that a part of our lives, but what is it that we are doing in our homes to ensure that we are praising the Lord? And that this becomes a part of our life in a major way. Here, let's see the importance of thanksgiving. And I want us to say that thanksgiving can be set as the opposite of all that is evil. And that's a really amazing statement to make. But really, when you get into Ephesians chapter 5, he begins to talk about, he says, I don't want you doing all these corrupt things. And he begins this list of wicked sins, and he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. And he uses that as the one positive that balances out all the negative on the other side. So that if you are thanking and praising the Lord, your heart is in the right place. In fact, the scripture goes on and talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 30. He says, for if I by the grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? The Apostle Paul looked at a deciding issue in terms of saying, is it really for the Lord? Am I really living for Jesus Christ? Am I giving thanks? In Romans chapter 12, he says, the person who does not observe the day, And so he does it unto the Lord. And the person who does observe the day, he does it to the Lord. And this one doesn't eat, and he gives God thanks. And this guy eats, and he gives God thanks. If you're giving God thanks, then God, there's an element that says it's sanctified by word of God and prayer. There's an element that says you, and we're not talking about just putting on a show, but we're talking about from the heart, you genuinely believe that this is for God. You're doing it for Him, and you can praise Him while you're doing it. You are not going to be condemned. It's a very interesting and beautiful point to this. So thanksgiving becomes a contrast to all that is evil. It is also the summary of all that is good. In Colossians, thanksgiving occurs 6 times. In chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." This is all-encompassing of what every single thing a Christian should do. They should be able to say, "I do this in the name of Jesus Christ. I come in the name of Jesus Christ. I give this to you in the name of Christ. I pray in the name of Christ. I witness in the name of Christ in His stead." There's a lot that has that meaning, but there is this participle here that just pulls out the meaning. He says, if you're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ, then this is the ongoing activity that will be taking place in your life. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. How do you know that you're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ? How do you know you're doing it for His glory? Because your life is exuding this praise and thankfulness to God. You know you're remembering Him when your life is saturated with an overflowing praise to God. Colossians 1:12 describes all the things that he says, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying you'll be strengthened with might. You'll walk worthy of the kingdom. You'll be filled with the fruits of Jesus Christ." And at the end of that, in verse 12, he says, "Giving thanks unto the Father." This is the outward production of the Spirit-led life. It produces thanksgiving to God. Chapter 2, verse 7 in Colossians, being built and rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Here you are, a Christian. You're well mature in this faith. He says, as you have been taught, don't stray to anything else. And he's dealing with heresy in that chapter. He says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You abound in the faith by praising and glorifying God. That should be the demeanor of a Christian. If that's the case, then the right response to every situation is giving thanks to God. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is after the command, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." And then he talks about what that should be. There's going to be a melody in your heart. You're singing with praise to God. And the overflowing of that just keeps working down that passage is giving thanks always to God for all things. When the Spirit of God is controlling your life, the sign of that Spirit's presence, that fruit of the Spirit is your life is giving thanks to God. I'm thanking Him. I'm thanking Him. I'm thanking Him. You know what, there's a lot of things that are excluded when you're praising God. You know, it's hard to grumble and complain and be thanking God at the same time. It's hard to be holding a grudge against somebody and be thanking God at the same time. You know what, it's hard to really get discouraged and deep down and to be filled like you're just an absolute nothing if you're praising God. You know what, it's really hard to be anxious and worried if you're praising God. It's amazing. When we can get a hold of who God is and respond to Him in terms of, "God, make my life an alleluia. Make my life filled with this one word, praise the Lord." Do you know what that's what heaven's going to be like? We're going to be going around forever praising the Lord. That does not mean we're going to be sitting on a cloud with a harp and bored out of our minds. It means that we're going to be enjoying what God has created just like you and I can enjoy everything God's doing. And in every circumstance, in every situation, we can be praising God. You know, it's hard to have for God to slip away from your mind when you're continually praising him for who he is? Another verse of scripture. Oh, 1 Thessalonians. It's so big. It's so powerful. We just kind of tuck it away and say, you know what? That can't possibly be what God means. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. That is a Christian's life. That is the life of Jesus Christ. The way he lived is summarized in the New Testament imperatives. He was a rejoicing Christian. He was a praying believer. He was a man who gave thanks to God in everything. This is what God wants. It is the key to your communication with God. Colossians 4:2 says, and continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, so that you make sure that in all your communication with God, in all your prayers, you just keep on thanking and praising Him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And you see how the Apostle Paul begins his letters. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I thank God without ceasing. Over and over again. You just look through the New Testament and find all the thanksgivings, how this man was demonstrating everything that he was teaching, that over and over and over again, we can put the dipstick down in our life and say, oh, how much praise is in there? How much is coming out? How much am I overflowing and just talking to God and thankful for what God's doing in my life? Because if we do not bless the Lord, you will forget the Lord. This is the dividing line. And so, part of what I knew that this part of, I felt like, man, this is it. I need this. We need this. I wanted to kind of dive into this a little bit. The Bible does, in this passage, provide some reasons. And I'm going to provide a few more and give a few suggestions for you and your home. We see the reasons laid out here in verse 14. Starting there, he says, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So here's something that they should remember, they should bless God for, but their prideful heart will get them to a place where they completely forget about that. What has God delivered you from? It's interesting, in Ephesians, he'll go back in chapter 2 and he'll say, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, you know how you lived. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath. He says, remember what you were like? You know what? You just walked lockstep with the world. You were controlled, energized, motivated by demonic spirits. And you were trapped in just doing whatever you wanted to do all the time. And you were living a vain, empty life. And he says, remember who you were without Christ? Strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in this world? You have no blessing from Him. I think that's one of the benefits of even being engaged in a jail ministry. Because you can receive what you've been delivered from. Not that, you know, you say, there go I by the grace of God. But there's an element that says, you know what? You value your freedom when you've been locked up for 2 hours. You walk in and all those doors close behind you. And you say, I've been set free. I'm so glad that when I walk to the front of that door, they're going to open it up and they're going to let me go. You know what it's like to be captured by sin? You know how empty that is? When you just please yourself and please yourself and please yourself. You say, man, I get all the things I ever want. You just go out and indulge in those things. How long are you happy? I'm going to tell you, you're miserable a whole lot longer than you are happy. And that happiness is so empty. He says, remember what you've been saved from. How about the eternal wrath of God? God's anger, that foreboding upon your life that you fell constantly, where you knew that everything you did not please God. And you knew that if someday, if today was the day, that you would split hell wide open because you would stand before God guilty for all of your sin. That's what God sent His Son to die for us. I want us to think about it. I guess if you wouldn't mind, just turn to the book of Titus. I've been studying this book a little bit over the last couple days, and so I'm tucking it in here. But I want us to see just a little bit of the salvation that God has given to you. What is the salvation? It's something in regards to what God has done in the past. I'm talking about before the world began, past. And then there's something God's done in history. And then there's something that God has in store for you that our minds cannot even, God has not even allowed us to even have to scratch the surface of what is going to be beyond the veil of God's grace. In Titus chapter 1, there are three passages that deal with this salvation. He says in verse 1, he says, they have the faith of God's elect, and they acknowledge the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began and hath in due times manifest His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. He's a Savior. He has purposed this. When did God promise this salvation? Was it after we sinned? He says, which God cannot lie, He promised before the world began. I challenge you to do a scriptural study of all the things the Bible tells us about that took place before the world began. That will encourage your heart. That will stir your mind. What a God. The Bible says all of God's works are known before the creation of the world. What a God we deal with. But not only this, we see that He has manifest something in this time through the preaching of God's Word. That's the gospel, and it's the promise that now is being proclaimed to you. What is the substance of that promise? Verse 2, the hope of eternal life. That's the hope is something that's much future. That's looking forward to what God's done. So you have this eternal purpose that God has purposed in the past, something He's performing right now in this world, and there's something that's ultimately future that He has promised, and that is eternal life. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. It says, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, has made Himself visible. This word appearing is so much used with Jesus Christ that I really do believe that He's referring to Jesus Christ, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. He's talking about the coming, the appearing of Jesus Christ on the earth. Now let me tell you about this. If that's the case, when Jesus Christ came on the earth, was that the beginning of the grace of God? Or was that something that He had... Does Christ have a pre-existence before He came into the world? Yes. Absolutely. He has always been, and yet now it was manifest in time. That's what He's talking about. The grace of God, which has always been, now it's been made clear. Now it's been made manifest in this time. And again, we see there's a practical application in verse 12. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God is doing a work of salvation, of redeeming. He died upon the cross so that we could fulfill a purpose and to be a people peculiar to the Lord. And what are we doing right now? We're looking for that blessed hope. An eternal purpose, the grace of God. Now it's being manifest. Now it's working itself out in this group, in this church, in this age. But there's still yet something future. It's a salvation that encompasses all things. Turn over to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of our God and love of God, our Savior, toward all men appeared. Same type of language. Now he's referring to now not just the grace, but it's the kindness and the love of God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Here I was dirty, but now He's washed me. I was dead, but now He's made me alive, and I'm renewed. And this life, new life of regeneration, comes by the Holy Spirit of God, which the Spirit He shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see the themes just coming right through that book? Here's the purpose of God, the eternal love, the eternal kindness of God. Now it's being displayed. Now He's saving us, not by our works, but according to His mercy. We're justified freely by grace. This is shed upon us, poured out on us abundantly in Jesus Christ. And now we are heirs. We're waiting. We're looking for something future. See, I'm trying to give you some categories by which you can think of how to praise God. And I really will take that in just a step further in just one moment. All right, so you've seen Titus. Let's look back at Deuteronomy. And we'll make one other observation here. So there's a saving God, a God of salvation in verse 14, but there's a shepherding God in verses 15 and 16. He says, "Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna." So this element of leading is like a shepherd. The shepherd goes in front of them and leads them through. And this is the beautiful imagery that I love, because there's an element of leadership and direction that a shepherd does. But he also protects you from all the harm. And he says, you know what? That wilderness didn't have a lot of bushes with berries, but it sure had a lot of snakes. Didn't have a lot of water, but it had a lot of scorpions. Imagine these people, and there was an aspect to which God protected them all through the 40 years except for one occurrence. And they sinned against God, and God let the snakes come in there and start biting them. And what happened? Moses put up on a pole, and he raised up a bronze serpent, and everyone who looked upon that bronze serpent was healed. And it looked forward to the day of salvation, that if anybody would look upon Jesus Christ and just look to Him, they would live. Just believe that He can save you. That's the mercy and grace of His salvation. You know what? There's a time in the wilderness when they had no water. So not only is there protection, but there's provision. The water and the manna providing for them. So a shepherd makes sure that he directs and leads the sheep. He protects them from the harm, from the lions, from the elements. But he also provides for their needs. And that time when they had no water and they were thirsty, and they can look around and so the only thing they can see is a mirage. There's no streams, there's nothing, and they don't have the strength to go on and find it. Their doom is sealed. And yet God says, you go over to this rock made of flint, and you strike that rock, and water will come out. And you know what the Bible says? When that rock that followed them, that provided that water, was Jesus Christ. Interesting, the images that are used in this passage, the fiery serpents and the water coming out of the rock, are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation. The man in the wilderness, Jesus uses in John 6. I am the bread that have come down from heaven, the provision from the Lord. God wants to direct you, He wants to protect you, and He wants to provide for your needs. And all of that is found within the imagery of being a shepherd. And He says, you remember all the way that I led you. Every step along the journey, you remember my goodness to you and how I have taken care of you. So this leads us here to this moment. You say, all right, I want the men of this church to purpose in their heart that you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to lead my family in praise and worship towards my God. If I neglect to do that, it will have a detrimental impact on my entire family. I must have, my children need to be experts in the character of God, right? That means you as men need to be, know your God, because you can't praise Him until you know Him, until you have the characteristics before you. And sometimes we just say, all right, and I thought, well, I'm just going to send out and we're going to close and we're going to pray. And you're going to come out saying, yeah, you're going to feel like I got to go do this, but I don't have any of the tools to do what I'm doing. And so this is very simple and this is very crude, but it's the beginning. I'm giving you, and each one of, there should be in your bulletin, a handout. We're going to go over that handout for just a moment, just to see through these things, because I wanted to give you something that you could take home with you and say, this is a start. And you know what I did at the very bottom? I left some blanks, because this isn't full. And you could fill it up, and you could try to turn the page over, and you could do more. It would do your soul good to find, as you do your reading, to say, what is this leading me to understand that's true about God? And so there's an element to which I've put down here a description of God. I've attached to that an attribute of who God is. And then what's really beautiful is the way to connect that to us is to describe ourselves in relationship. It's because who I am impacts, who God is impacts who I am. And that will change. When I come to God, I ought to be thinking about God in this way, that I relate to Him in this way. And I've given you some verses of Scripture. So the first one here is, He is God. And part of this has the idea that He is, in His being, He is a part of a category that no one else is a part of. He is holy. And you know what the Bible wants us to be? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him, for such God seeks worshipers to come before Him. He is God. He wants people who are going to fall down and acknowledge who He is, acknowledge His holiness. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Glorious in holiness. You are set apart. This is special. Not only is God God, but He is Creator. When you begin to start thinking about this vast aspect of God creating all things, and all of it, He is the source of all things, and the Son is the agent of all things, and the Spirit of God is the beautifier of all things, and all three members of the Trinity, just becomes a beautiful aspect of He is the one who gives life. Part of this, we can connect this to Him being, the theological word is called transcendent. He's far above. He is, when you think about Creator, creation, He is eternal. And I have a beginning. It just kind of, there's an element that creation-creature distinction helps us understand the great gulf that's between us. And when we understand that we are creatures, we'll understand Revelation 4:11, where He says, "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." I was created for one purpose. Just like a screwdriver, you know, you say, I've got a flat head and I got a Phillips head, and they were created for a special purpose. And you get those mixed up and you're going to be really frustrated. God has made you a certain way to fit a certain purpose. And when you fit that purpose, your life is like, that's it. That's what I'm made to do. I am a creature, therefore I must bring Him pleasure. Not only is God Creator, He is King. This means that He is sitting upon a throne and He is the sovereign. The Bible says He is the Most High. He is the great King over all the earth. And Daniel 4:32 helps us understand this. He told Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to have to eat grass like an ox until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever He will. He is in charge. We must acknowledge that. And the beautiful reality is that you and I have been made citizens of His kingdom. We've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, Colossians 1:13. I've got citizenship in heaven and in the kingdom of God forever and ever. He is the judge. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? His righteousness. He's going to judge based on the law. He's going to look and say, all right, here is this righteous, perfect standard. And God, who is just, will never acquit someone who is guilty. And He will condemn the wicked. And He'll declare the righteous innocent. And yet we say, oh, all of us are wicked. All of us are in this place of condemnation. Romans 3:26, but I say to you at this time, declare His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. He's found a way in His infinite wisdom to declare us righteous on the basis of the sacrifice and faithfulness and righteousness of Jesus Christ. What a God. What a judge. He is a Father. He loves us. I think of these scriptures. Matthew 6:9, He's told us to call upon Him as our Father. John 3:1 tells us, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? You have a Father who loves you, who cares about you. You have a God who is a revealer. He's a God who speaks. This has the idea of He's close at hand. He wants to be intimate. He wants to be your friend. He comes to the blind man and He says, will you believe on the Christ? And he says, well, who is He that I might believe on Him? And He says, you both see Him and it is He that is talking with you now. I'm communicating with you. I'm revealing myself. He says, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. Because whatsoever the Father has revealed, I have made it known to you. He wants to have a close friendship. Just like Abraham was the friend of God, He wants to be your friend. Not only is He the revealer, He is the redeemer. He gave Himself that He might redeem us from all iniquity. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the sacrificial aspect, according to the riches of His grace. Oh, God is so gracious to take us back. He made us. We corrupted ourselves, and He wants to redeem us. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So what is our relationship to a Redeemer? We're bought with a price. We're His. We're His servants, made free from sin. He is a covenant keeper. Oh, the Bible says in Genesis 9:9, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed forever. God didn't have to do this. It was God's initiative. Man didn't come to God and say, God, please make a covenant, make a deal with us. God made a deal. God made a promise. And He says, I'm making my covenant. I'll stick to it. I'll be faithful. He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy to them that love Him. And that beautiful description of the covenant relationship, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He made a promise to you, and you're His, and He will not forsake you. He is the shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they are known of mine. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? And if we're His sheep, the Bible says, my sheep hear His voice, I know them, and they follow me. So there's an element that says, you know what? You can take some of these things and say, I want for my children. So when we say, we're going to praise the Lord, they don't go, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I've got a few at that age. All right, it's time to pray. I don't know what to say. And some of us may feel at that point, I don't know what to say. Start our prayers with praise to God. But it can be just as simple as saying, I'm going to take one of these things and I'm going to focus on that characteristic of God. Maybe you say, Pastor, you're so puny. You only gave us 3 references. I'm going to find more. Praise the Lord. I'm going to find scripture references that show these things so that it's in my heart and I can provide as a father to my children. I want to them to have something that says, you know what? Today, you're going to praise God for this in our family Bible time. I want us today around the lunch table. We're going to thank God for our food, but we're going to praise Him for being our shepherd. We're going to praise Him for being our redeemer today so that they become very well accustomed, not just on the externals. You know, and then we get, as soon as you get into this, you say, well, I'm not, I want it to come from the heart. I don't want to be opposed from the outside. Well, does that work when it comes to teaching them to be thankful? How many children are thankful from their heart? They're not. None of them are. You give them something and they don't say thank you. And you have to teach it to them and remind them and push them and teach them and lead them and say, this is what you do. And as you lead them in the right way, you're asking God to make it true in their heart, and He does. I'm saying, I think that's what you need to do with this praise. You say, here, children, you should praise God for being your creator.
Well, I don't know what He created.
Take them outside. Everything your eyes look on, thank Him for it. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Because if you do not bless the Lord your God when you have eaten and you are full, you have forgotten Him. We must be a praising, thankful, blessing people. Because if we don't know our God and we're not continually praising and praising Him, we will see the next generation follow just like Israel did. They forsook the Lord. It's just this important. Can I do this? I finished 10 minutes early, so I want those 10 minutes back, okay? Can I get, there's 9 things here. I'm looking for 1 minute prayers or less for men in our church here that would say, Pastor, I would like to just praise the Lord for 30 seconds for being our God and for being our Creator. Could we do that? That's a little weird. We haven't done that before, but it's okay. We can do something like that. But I'm going to need, it's going to take us a whole lot longer if people don't volunteer. So there's no shame. No one's being proud by volunteering. Let's just volunteer. Tom, which one do you want to do? All right, Creator. How about let's I'm gonna do an auction here. I'm gonna do God. Who's gonna do God? Does anybody want to do praise Him for being the holy God? All right, Caleb Dare. So this is gonna help us. Caleb's gonna start. Tom's going second. Who's gonna praise Him for being our King? All right, Brother Ryan. Good. Who wants to praise Him for being our just judge? Brother Roger. Who wants to praise Him for being our Father? All right, Chuck, who wants to praise Him for being our revealer? I'll do that one. I didn't think anyone, I thought people would be like, oh, I don't know about that one. I'll do that one. Okay, covenant keeper. Praise Him for being a covenant keeper. All right, Doug, we got one more. Shepherd, Brother Matt. All right, good. So we're going to do in that order. We're going to praise. And I skipped one. Oh, thank you. Redeemer. All right, so thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, we're just going to close with a prayer. When we finish with Brother Matt, we're going to come and sing a song that's going to praise God together, and I hope it'll all stick in our minds here as we go.
Thank you for being set apart, that you are holy, that you are unlike anything else, and for that reason, we just worship you, Lord, and we thank you for your purity and just understanding that we are not like you, but that you invited us to be close to you. Thinking about you and understanding, or not being able to comprehend, but understanding that you are holy, 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 holy.
Amen.
Lord, we do come before you and recognize you as our King. It's simple, Lord, that we worship you and we serve you, that we are citizens of your kingdom. Lord, we just ask that you bow down your ear to us, that we before you and we praise you and we recognize you, oh God, as our King, as our leader, as sovereign over all things. And then we pray.
Father, God, we thank you. Recognize that you are the church. Not a visual God, not a visual church. You're a righteous and better church. Your justice is perfect. And so, because of that perfect justice, you're justified.
Thank you so much for your love, for opening up your family, and by blessing you.
Thank you for the manifestation of your love in him, poured out upon us from your spirit. Father, may we walk in a full close, personal walk with you, anybody knows, with friends. You know us intimately, we know you. We hear your voice. Okay.
Father, we just, Lord, we just praise you, thank you. You send me in. You sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins that we can have salvation through him. And Lord, we just praise you. We know we understand we have to come to the place where there's nothing we can do it ourselves. Only through your shed blood of Jesus Christ we can have a relationship with you. We just want to praise you today. Lord, with that confidence, we come to you, knowing that you desire to complete the work that you started in our life. The promises to you, the word of the Lord, the eternal, the glory of all that Jesus brings back. Father, I thank you for your word that leads and guides us. I thank you, Father, for the example of showing up to Israel and build the temple. You let them by day of the sky and by fire. So good for us. You want to lead us. You guide 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 for us. So we just praise your name and we bless you, God. Solomon said that he would praise your name eternally, that he might fail it for every step. I will remember you failed.
Amen. Amen. I invite you to take your hymnal and turn to number 79 as Kenny comes and the pianist plays. We're going to sing a song of praise to the Lord.
Let's all stand as we sing 79.
The Lord is good.
Forth from the presence of the Lord, blessing his name. And may you go blessed by the presence of his Spirit. Very good. I want to call on someone who didn't pray yet. So let's, Brother Josh Geyer, would you mind closing this word of prayer? Thank you.
Amen. Lord bless you.